Yeah. Wealth, property, generosity, personal opulence. That's one reason why he thinks that this person has so much mercy. So, you know, it's pretty obvious that that is not necessarily a very sort of high manifestation of mercy from the Lord. But at least at this point, Narada Muni is saying that this is one reason why I think that you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. Because you got his mercy in these ways. You're very opulent. You're very generous also with your opulence. And this is mercy. And secondly, you are using these things to establish pure religion. This is what he's using these things for. Pure religion, Sanatan Goswami explains, means for establishing devotional service. Rendering devotional service. Now, our course here, our original, the version, you could say, of Brihad Bhagavatamrita we're working from, is the BBT version, which is going to be published shortly. Unfortunately, it's not published yet, so otherwise we'd be using it as the course material right now. But, you know, certain things we've taken, well, everything, in fact, we've taken out of there. There's a comment that this Brahmin devotee, he was so opulent, it was sort of oozing out of him. He couldn't hide it. You know, some people who may be criminals, they get a lot of money. They don't know what to do with it. Sometimes they put it in the mattress, or they build a false wall or something, put it in the wall, or, you know, dig a hole or something like that. Because they want to hide their opulence. So this Brahmin devotee, he was so opulent he couldn't hide it. It was just, you know, he was surrounded by opulence. But the comment is that he was happy to use them in devotional service. He didn't mind. He was happy to use them in devotional service. Yeah. And if you recall, we mentioned how at the end he went and offered his pious credits to the deity. So, you know, he's a very advanced devotee. But maybe he's not on the highest level of pure devotional service. He's offering his pious credits like this. So, but Narada told him, you are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord because you're so opulent and you're using your opulence to promote devotional service. Then the Brahmin protested. He said that, actually I'm wretched. What charity can I give? In other words, I'm not so opulent. I can only give so much. I can't give that much. Because the opulence, Narada Muni had said, was the sign of his being the recipient of mercy. So he says, no, I haven't got so much opulence really. What charity can I give? Actually, I'm kind of wretched. I can only give a little charity. So in other words, I haven't really got so much mercy. And how can I reciprocate with the Lord? How have I ever reciprocated with the Lord? So these are his reasons that he gives for saying that he's not really received much mercy, if any mercy really, from the Lord. Then he says, you know, if you want to meet someone, if you want to see someone who really got the mercy of the Lord, I happen to know one king in South India, and he really has got the mercy of the Lord. And then he explains why. He says that the Lord is so dear to him, and he is so dear to the Lord, that the Lord has agreed to appear as the deity in a personal form, not just a Shalagram Shila. The Lord has appeared as a personal deity, but not just an ordinary personal deity. This personal deity is so amazing that when people look at him, they forget he's a deity. Yes. So he's got more mercy. Here, look, I've just got this Shalagram Shila. You may have to use your imagination a bit. But with this deity, the Lord's presence is just so vividly clear. And this king is so inspired and enthusiastic that there is a permanent festival going on in his kingdom, particularly in the main temple. Although there are many temples. So this is the second point. There is a permanent festival. It's just non-stop. And the devotees are so inspired that they are constantly improving the standard of worship, because they're just inspired to do like that. And they just want to please the Lord more and more. And as a result, many saintly persons have moved there just to be there, to be with the king, and to be able to enjoy the atmosphere which is there because he's the king and because he's such a nice devotee king. Then this king, is such a devotee. If you want to talk about generosity, giving, he is so generous. He has given legal title to the whole kingdom. There's so many temples and ashrams. He has given legal title to the deities where the temples are, to the devotees where the ashrams are, and the Brahmins. He's given legal title to all of them. And he's no longer making any claim as proprietor at all. He has handed his kingdom over, and he is existing simply as a caretaker. That's all. And because he's such a great devotee king, the land is producing crops, perfect, opulent crops, without anyone farming. The crops just grow up out of the ground. They don't plant the seeds. They don't even till the earth. They just pop up. And for the citizens are such nice devotees under his protection that whatever they want, they have. Whatever clothing, food, living accommodations, they've all got it simply because of him. And this king, is completely prideless. He will do anything. There is no service too menial. And finally, that he chants and dances every day for hours in front of the deity, accompanied by all his family members and all his ministers. Yeah, they just get together in the temple and they just chant and dance all day. It's amazing. So you should go there. If you want to see someone who's opulent but not attached to the opulence, who's worshiping the Lord and who the Lord is reciprocating by showing his presence, and who is generous and prideless and detached and opulent, you know, receive the mercy of the Lord in the same ways that you think I have, but far more. It's this king. You should go to see him. So Narada, he sets off immediately to the palace of the king. So he went into the kingdom and he saw, sure enough, it's just like that Brahmin devotee said. So he goes into the palace. He runs into the palace and tells the king, it's you. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And he gives two main reasons. One is because your kingdom is so opulent. And, you know, bear in mind these opulences, like crops just growing spontaneously and citizens being able to get whatever opulences they needed without difficulty. These we understand generally. It's because of the king and his good rule, you know, and not his good rule, I mean, not just his good rule, but his Krishna conscious rule. There's the famous story of when Krishna went to get the sons of that Brahmin couple from Dwarka. They would have a son, the son would die immediately. But they were not doing anything wrong, so they assumed that the king was doing something wrong. Yeah. So, and therefore the Lord's mercy was being withdrawn. So, when Narada says that you're so opulent, it is not just that, you know, you're a rich man, but he's taking it as being an expression of mercy on the part of the Lord, because the king is so Krishna conscious, and therefore this opulence is coming in ways which are related to Krishna consciousness and perfect piety in a Krishna conscious context. So first reason then is because your kingdom is so opulent, and second, it's so full of saintly subjects because of you. Because of you, these people are so advanced. As they say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can tell a Vaishnav by how he can make other people Vaishnavs. So Narada is looking from that angle of vision, that your subjects are such Vaishnavs, it reflects on you. It's because you are such a Vaishnav. They have so many good qualities, personal, like their characters are so, they're such nice people. They're so pious, they're so wealthy, they're so learned, they're so devoted. Therefore, it's certain you are the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. So the king disagreed. No, I'm sorry. And he gave reasons why he was not the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. In fact, he had not received any mercy from the Lord. He said that, I'm just a human. I only live for a few years. I'm not that, and second is, I'm not that opulent. He was not the emperor. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the emperor. Chakravarti, the emperor. He was a Maharaj. Maharaj in this context means a king over several minor kings, Rajas. This is a Maharaj. So he was that type of king. He said, I'm not really that opulent. There are other people more opulent than me. And so I'm not able to give so much in charity. He only had a limited kingdom. Not unlimited kingdom. He said, I have no independence. I'm under the emperor. I'm not independent to do as I like. And I'm always in fear of death and the threefold miseries, the three modes of material nature. If I received so much mercy from the Lord, how could I be like this? In fact, he said, I don't even think that in the future I'll get any mercy from the Lord. I have none now, and I don't see how I'm going to get any in the future. So basically he said, I'm finished. I'm hopeless. I'm just useless. So then the king said that if you want to see someone who's really got some mercy, the greatest mercy, you should visit the demigods. Now, so why the demigods? He gives six main reasons. Their bodies are effulgent. They're not just these ordinary human bodies, which are not very impressive. They are effulgent. In fact, deva, this word deva, literally means effulgent. At least that's one literal meaning of the word deva. Effulgent people. They are worshipable by ordinary people like me. If I've got the greatest mercy of the Lord, why am I worshipping the demigods? He had to do that to set a good example for some of the citizens who were worshipping demigods, just as Maharaj Yudhisthira did the same thing, not because he was into demigods, but he had to set an example for some people in the kingdom who were not really devotees, so he would worship demigods. He said, they are sinless and they're fixed in goodness, therefore they're always happy. They fulfill their devotees' desires. Their food is the nectar of immortality. It's not like our ordinary food. It's a different type of substance. You eat it and you practically become immortal. Or if you drink the soma rasa, you practically become immortal. And look at me, I only live a few years. So I haven't got the mercy that they've got. And they live in heaven, which people like me can only attain by perfect piety. And I am not there right now. I am here on earth. So it means I'm not on that level yet. Yeah. So I haven't got that mercy from the Lord to live in those higher planets and have all those facilities. I'm just here on this rather crummy planet Earth. So these are the reasons that the king says he feels that not only is he not the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, he's got no mercy, but the demigods They have the mercy. And final point, amongst the demigods, Indra has the most mercy. So in fact, Narada Muni will next go to meet Indra specifically. There are five main reasons he gives why Indra has more mercy. One is, he is independent. He can curse and benedict as he likes. This is an interesting point. Generally, the demigods, they can only give you your karma. Indra, he can do things, give you things against your karma. This point is made. So in that way, he is superior to the other demigods. He can curse and benedict independently. Whereas the normal demigods can only give specific things when the worshippers approach them in their specific ways. He lives for such a long time, 71 cycles of the four ages. That's a long time. He has incredible paraphernalia. He has a Surabhi cow. These cows are just, well, of course, at that point, they might well think there's only one. He has a wish-fulfilling cow. He has special horse, Uchaishrava, and he has this Uchaishrava. You can find it in Bhagavad Gita. It's the name of Indra's horse. And Airavata is his elephant, who is a very special elephant. So he has this special paraphernalia headed by this unique cow, Surabhi. So therefore, obviously, he's got more mercy. At the back of his palace is the Nandana garden or Nandana forest. And there, the trees are wish-fulfilling. Yes, in Indraloka, at least in the Nandana garden, the trees are, in limited ways, wish-fulfilling trees. That is a fact. And they can, fulfill so many desires and assume so many forms. And fifth point made by the king regarding Indra, and this is a very special point, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is personally present there, not just as a very convincing-looking deity, but he is personally there as Vamana, his younger brother. And he personally protects him. He personally accepts everything that Indra offers him and reciprocates with him face to face. Yeah, so you can see. Sounds like there's some more mercy there with Indra. So at this point, Narada gets ready to fly off to Swarga Loka, Indra Loka, the planet of Lord Indra. So that, in a nutshell, is what is described in the first chapter of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Any comments or questions? Mother Rati Manjaya? You are finding it strange that he's mentioning opulence? The question is that it seems perhaps strange that Narada Muni considers the opulence these people have to be a sign of mercy. Well, You know, whatever we have, even on the material platform, whatever we have is coming by the mercy of the Lord. You know, we can say, well, it's our karma, it's the Brahman devotee's karma, it's the king's karma or Indra's karma, which is true, but at the same time it's mercy from the Lord. Yeah. But yes, I mean, there is a point there that from our understanding of Krishna consciousness, you know, even though we understand that if somehow we come into some money, it is mercy from the Lord, but the Lord can give much better mercy than that. Yeah. Even it may be a higher mercy to have everything taken away. And that point will be made in a little while by one of the devotees. That, you know, the Lord, you think that he's being kind to me by giving me all this opulence? It's a sign that he doesn't like me. If he liked me, he'd take it all away. So, you know, in a certain context of like of lower considerations, it could be said to be a type of mercy of the Lord. Yeah. You know, particularly for a devotee, if we consider a devotee, for example, to be somewhat independent or actually independent of karma, then it would be. Yeah. It would be the mercy of the Lord. But one way or the other, you know, it's a type of expression of mercy from the Lord, that the Lord is giving some facility. But it's not a very high consideration. And the next question might be, why does Narada think it is, or say it is? You know, he's Narada Muni. He is very advanced and very knowledgeable. How could he think that it is? So the obvious answer really would be that he knows that it's not. But he is, you know, he wants to like clarify things for the benefit of the audience. Yeah. So therefore he's going through this whole procedure for our benefit in the purports that point is made. Yeah. Otherwise, he knows who's the greatest devotee, who are the greatest devotees. He already knows that. But to help us, you know, see the differences between the different levels and why they're higher and why, you know, the highest devotees are the highest, he's drawing all these points out. Yeah. It is being made that Narada Muni appears to be covering his own position. He is such a great devotee. He's more advanced than any of these devotees and Indra also. So, but they're not recognizing this. Yes, that's true. And the point is made as Narada goes higher, and he actually gets up amongst some really high devotees, like in Vaikuntha, you know, and higher, then reference is made to this fact that Narada already knows these things. Why is he asking? And like this. But, you know, I think maybe the idea behind what you're talking about is that Narada, in order to help us, is trying to arrange things so that the exchanges are as real and clear as possible for our benefit. Yeah, something like that. Otherwise everyone would say, oh, it's you, you're Narada Muni. I mean, look at you, you're like this and like that. Something like that. Mm-hmm. Maharaj Parikshit heard the story of Brihad Bhagavatamrita from someone else. It appears he's heard it. The greatest sages, he's telling Uttara, the greatest sages have approved this resulting work. So it appears, you know, to be
although it doesn't say specifically where he may have heard it from.
Right.
That that point is made, in fact, yeah. I skipped over that point. That the Brahmins